So we can rotate the nuts.
What's good, everybody? This is your man, Brother Red, coming at you from the No Vulture Studio. I'm with my man, our special co-host, Son L. What's up, Son L?
Hi, thank you, Brother Red, for bringing me back to your podcast. How you been?
Doing good, man. Last time you were here, we were talking about the JLA Snyder Cut, and now it's been a couple months since it's been out, so we wanted to bring you back to get your thoughts about that. So let me go ahead and turn down the music a little bit, and let's jump right into it.
Oh, thank you. Well, this movie, in my review, I think I'm going to give it a B+. It was good. It wasn't perfect, but it was good. I think every fan that was hyped for it, who wanted this movie, I think I can speak for the majority, it did not fail. It delivered everything. I don't know what Warner Media was thinking about with the Josh Whedon version. That's their problem, but this movie, in my opinion, gets a solid B+.
Word. Okay, and I'm with you. I'd give it, you know, good, solid B+ to B grade as well. Vast improvement from that hot mess that they trotted out there before. I do like the fact that it was long. There were some parts, maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit much, but I like the fact that he went in depth with some of the minor characters in the Justice League, particularly Cyborg, and really fleshed his story out a little bit to, you know, give people a true sense of what his abilities are and what he's capable of. And so for that, I really enjoyed it. I also enjoyed quite a bit the scenes with Aquaman and the stuff that was going on there in Atlantis. I thought that was, you know, and I have to say hats off to DC with your CGI. You finally got it right, at least for those scenes in particular. I was like, okay, it's about time. And it really, and that's just a little bit of a sidebar, but I would say with the CGI, you can tell when you get a real filmmaker versus someone who might just rely on whatever the studio is going to give them and just like, oh, hey, let's send it in and whatever they give us, we'll use. And it seems like Whedon's style was more that way.
Yeah.
It seemed like that with his Avengers stuff.
Correct.
Compared to everybody else's Avengers stuff. Same way here with Justice League. Like you can see where it seemed like, you know, Snyder was a little bit more meticulous in making sure, okay, things look the way they're supposed to look. And the CGI isn't just crazy, because that was something that was like, come on, man. DC's the universe on television looks better than that stuff that Whedon had trotted out there. So
Steppenwolf looked way better. Definitely an upgrade on him. He looked way better. And also, I did like the black suit on Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Look great. That looked great. I haven't bought the shirt on Hot Topic, so if you're looking for one, you can get it there. But yeah, I like the black suit. And yeah, everything about this movie was, I mean, to like. Martian Manhunter was a great addition, too. Hopefully, fingers crossed, they decide to restore the Snyderverse and we get to see a little more of that, but we'll leave that for later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things also about the movie, and I think because of the length, he made sure to, you know, really flesh the scenes out. So we got a little bit better understanding of the nightmare scene that was just butchered in the original version that had came out, the original theatrical release. Now we get a little bit more understanding of, you know, what that scene was about. And I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts now? Because we've seen, you know, Snyder's vision with Batman v Superman, now into, you know, the Snyder cut of the Justice League. So we got a good foundation, and also with the Man of Steel. So we've got a good solid foundation for the quote unquote Snyderverse. It seems like DC, the powers that be there, Warner Brothers, want to shelve that. As a fan, what are your thoughts? What would your advice be to the DC and Warner Brothers executives about that?
See, here's the thing. My question would be like, what was the timeline on the Snyderverse? Like, how long until the actual nightmare scene happened? That was my question. If WarnerMedia wanted to throw in their own little ideas there too, I'm not against it. But don't just throw like away the Snyderverse. That's my thing. I do want to see, you know, Darkseid at the end and Superman turning evil, you know, and all of that. But like, let Snyder do his thing, but at the same time, let WarnerMedia throw their ideas, because I'm not against WarnerMedia, some of their ideas. I'm not against them completely. It's just my problem with them is that you just want to get rid of Snyder or his version because y'all don't like him. I don't think that's how it rolls. The fans want this. I think y'all need us, you know, put that your ego to the side and give the fans what they want. Let them have the Snyder cut or the Snyder version, I guess. And then y'all can add your parts too. That's my only question to Zach. What was going to be the stretch from the first Justice League movie to eventually the nightmare scene? That's my only thing I have to say.
Right. It seems to me like that was kind of like the end game was with the nightmare scene. It was, okay, this is like pretty much full on, full scale Earth invasion. And, Darkseid is on Earth. And it really appeared like, okay, yeah, he has turned Superman. Which, in different medium, if you're interested, you can go back. I want to say like Justice League Unlimited, they get into that a little bit. There are some really good cartoon movies and animated. I don't want to say cartoon because it's animated. But I don't think you can find that like on HBO Max now, where all the DC stuff is. And there's some really good movies that delve into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Almost kind of like a what if, you know, like what if Superman was there in Apocalypse and, you know, if he was a minion of Darkseid, that sort of thing. And really good stories. And so they do flesh that out. And I think that's what Snyder with that nightmare scene was shooting for, was like, hey, like you said, what's the goal there of the scene? Is it this is going to lead up to the scene, and then that scene is the segue to that final, I guess, movie of the story arc, yeah, where we see the redemption of Superman. And we can get into that a little bit. I had read a couple articles. One of them I know was on Screen Rant, where they talked about Snyder saying like his vision was for Superman to kind of go dark and then
eventually,
then be redeemed. Do you know or have any thoughts about that? Do you know of it, or any information about what we're talking about there?
I've heard about a lot of that, about that too. And I would not be against that idea, because we saw that in the scene where Superman basically became evil. And, you know, you saw obviously Batman, Joker, Deathstroke, Mera, right, Cyborg, and Flash. Obviously, it seemed like they were going to fight him. Obviously, they probably would not be beating Superman.
True.
But I wouldn't be against it. It would be because everybody, even though Superman is a good person, I mean, he's the purest hero. I mean, he still has emotions as well. He can, I mean, as you saw, it seemed like Darkseid is the one that killed Lois Lane there. As you can see, he was holding her body. It looked like it was Darkseid. And some people saying it was the Joker. He just made it seem like it was Darkseid, but I'll leave that for another time. And then he obviously got mad because the love of his life, was just murdered. And I wouldn't be against them eventually making that into a movie, because I would want to see Superman eventually, like you said, redeeming himself and beating Darkseid, because that's what I really want to see. Because Darkseid also, he looked very cool, very
scary. Right, yeah. And that was the other thing with the CGI. We finally got to see a proper villain. I did like Ocean Master. I'll give him some props. Cheetah was okay in Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
But as far as like superpowered villains, as they go, because I don't really consider Bane like in the Nolan stuff. He really wasn't, you know.
Didn't need much CGI.
Right, yeah. But yeah, with this one, finally DC, you got it right. Like you said, Steppenwolf looked great. Darkseid, great. I liked what they did with Desaad, how he came out of that stone with the, how it was moving, like, you know, kind of like black sand or whatever. That was cool. A little bit of a take, I think, from the Avengers, people will say. But to those people, I will tell you, if you go back and if you do a little bit of your comic book, TV, and movie history, you'll know that, like, even Man of Steel, and even before that, and some other things, they had kind of shown like with little black sands moving.
Yeah, Marvel. That's
something that's not just exclusive to DC or Marvel.
It's everyone. It's
right.
Not,
right. I mean, but I'm just glad that they finally got it right with the CGI.
Yeah, correct.
prior to this, it, let's be honest, it's been a hot mess.
Yeah, it's it was bad. Like another villain, even though they didn't really need much CGI, was Zod. I think he did a good job as well.
Right.
Zod was a very good villain as well. But when we're talking CGI, I gotta give it to these guys. Even I know you didn't like Doomsday a lot. I didn't think he looked that bad. But
well, compared, better than that other.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, Doomsday, I thought they could did a little bit better job with
him.
But particularly in this one, I think that they did step up.
Correct.
You know, I think with the Snyderverse there at the very beginning of the movie, which is taking place at the end.
Yeah.
You know, I think that he looked good.
Yeah.
And definitely not as, you know, and only way I can tell y'all is to me it was kind of terrible. I'm like, well, y'all paid this much money, go ahead and spend whatever little extra, because it's little, it's a great amount, but for y'all it's a little extra. You know, that's like sprinkling the nuts and the whipped cream and the cherry on your sundae. Go ahead and do that, because that's what is gonna really make it pop.
Yeah,
you know.
So
So that's, you know, our final thoughts on that. You know, definitely, if you have not had an opportunity to go check out the Snyder Cut, do yourself a favor. If you're a comic book fan, you should enjoy it. I would even recommend to check out the JLA Snyder Cut Gray, that version that's in black and white. That gives it a little bit more of a dystopian feel, even more than what it has to it. It really, it's very somber and bleak in that black and white. It's powerful. So, you know, if you're into that, you know, if you're really like a cinema tog, I believe, or cinemagog, I believe, something like that. If that's your thing, you're in the cinema, yeah, check out Justice League Gray. So we're going to go ahead. We're up against our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up in the DCEU, particularly with the new Superman movie that we keep hearing about and all the kind of rumors and stuff. And so we're going to get Sun-El's take, because Superman, that's his dude. So I definitely want to get with him and see what his feelings are about, you know, Superman moving forward. This is your man, Brother Red. We're with
Sun-El,
and this is No Vultures. We'll be right back with you after this quick break from our sponsors. What's good, everybody? It's your man, Brother Red. We're back with Sun-El. You're listening to No Vultures. We just left off, completed our review of the Snyder Cut. But now we're just going to talk a little bit about what our thoughts are for the DCEU moving forward, and particularly what's happening with Superman. What are some of the rumors? I know Sun-El, Superman, that's your dude. So let's go ahead. I'm going to cue this music, cut it down, so we can go ahead and get into it. All right, Sun-El, go ahead. Give us your thoughts about what's next for DCEU, particularly with Superman, the movies, the rumors. Give us your thoughts and give us some information.
Well, here's the thing. Remember a couple of months ago, we saw that Henry Cavill signed a new deal with Warner Media where he was going to do, I think, was it five movies or three cameos? I don't know, something like that. I don't even know what they consider a cameo nowadays. Well, it doesn't seem like it, because we have not seen anything. We haven't seen anything like it, because I'm like, hello, is this guy going to show up eventually? I mean, it's like, not only that, but now Warner Media announced that we're going to get a new Superman. Or it's from, at first I thought it was going to be replacing Henry Cavill, which I would have had a problem there. Because I think, to me, Henry Cavill is the GOAT when it comes to Superman. Right. And we'll be talking about that in a different segment. But going back to what I was saying, and they're going to announce, they announced a new Superman, and this is going to be a black Superman. Obviously, you know, that caused a little controversy here and there, because, you know, no one really knew what's the deal. Now, here's the thing. To all the people out there who saying like, oh, there's no black Superman. Yes, there is a black Superman. All right. There's two. What were the names again of those two black Supermans?
We got Baal Zod from Earth 2. And we also have Kal-El, Calvin Ellis, from Earth 23. People also have to remember, DC operates with an infinite number of universes. So, yes, there are various versions of all these heroes and villains.
Yeah.
And so, yes, theoretically, yeah, there's no reason why. Heck, there could be a purple Superman. There could be a black. There could be a gorilla Superman.
And that would be cool.
It could be a planet where there's no human inhabitants, but they're sentient life and they're animals. He could be a deer or an antelope. Yes.
Yes.
So
see, and here's the thing. I don't have a problem with it if they make him black, but I don't know, this hasn't been confirmed, they're obviously still up in the air. If they don't do one of those two Supermans, that's where I'm going to have the problem.
Right.
If they make this just a black Clark Kent, I'm just going to be like,
what's the point?
What's the point? Y'all have two actual, it's like if they're like, okay, we're going to make Hal Jordan black. I'm like, you have John Stewart.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have other, you can also even create another Lantern because of the way the Lantern Corps works. But why make Hal Jordan black just for the sake of making Hal Jordan black?
And I'm going to take away the race. If they would have made him Hispanic, I'm Hispanic, I would have been like, okay, fine, that's different. But create a new one. Don't just be like, okay, we're going to make Clark and Hispanic. They grew up in Mexico. They didn't grow up in Smallville. You know?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No. Right. No, I'm saying like, no. I mean, you have two black Supermans. We already know the story of Clark Kent. We don't know the story of these two. Right. I mean, if you read the comic books.
We don't know the story of Calvin Ellis. But don't know the story of Val Zod.
And you know the story of Clark Kent because it's pretty common. I'm saying give their story. You're just switching race on Clark Kent. It's like, it literally makes no sense. Now, if they end up doing that, I'm still going to watch the movie because Superman's my boy. Obviously, this movie is going to take place in a different Earth, in a different universe. Obviously, not in the same one as with Henry Cavill. And I would still watch it. Obviously, it would be I'm a little disappointed because I really want to see Man of Steel 2. I mean, everybody's literally waiting for that guy to, you know, for them to make that movie again.
Right. And, you know, and I'm looking here and I went to DCFandom.com. And, you know, I'm looking at Val Zod of Earth 2. I'd want to check this cat out as a Superman. I'm just looking at his early history. Becoming the last of his house after his parents' execution by Krypton's court, Val quickly made friends with fellow orphan Kara Zor-El. So again, right there, you know, if we're talking about Val Zod, we can get a little 2-for-1 action going and we can get some Supergirl up in there. You know what I'm saying? Kara Zor-El. Moments before Krypton's destruction, Val, Kara, Kal-El, and another child managed to escape and survive their planet's destruction thanks to Jor-El and Lyra. Through his trip, Val was educated by his parents' knowledge recorded on his capsule, teaching him that violence was the silliest or stupidest way to overcome issues, driving him to become a pacifist. All right. Through his trip, falling to Earth, he was found by Terry Sloan, who offered him asylum to protect him from the outside world. He became a recluse. And so, while the time he was captured, when he was captured, he also helped Sloan develop fire pits. Not quite sure. I haven't gone super deep into Earth 2. Sometimes I'm not one of those people that I like to stay with the main continuity. Yeah. I'll read some side books, but you know, I'm old school.
Yeah.
I'm a kid, grew up in the 70s, you know, child of elementary school in the 80s. So yeah. I'm old school with it. You know, when they start getting too far out there,
it becomes too much.
Right. But I do appreciate the fact that they have, because you know, with the crisis on Infinite Earths and then the after effects of all that stuff and them, you know, originally bringing all the Earths down to just one Earth, one universe, and then expanding it back out to the infinite number. So I don't have a problem with, you know, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Tell the story. Like, this is very interesting. Like, I'm looking at Kal-El. Now, Kal-El, this is from Earth 23. He shares the same birth name as the Clark Kent that we know.
Yeah, but it's just the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. And now in this one, and I'm just reading here again from DCFandom.com, they're saying, okay, and so after a time came the last son of lost Krypton to the planet Earth. Adopted by a poor but kindly couple, the seed of Krypton took root in fertile alien soil and grew tall and strong and proud. Now disguised as United States President, Calvin Ellis, Kal-El of Krypton, fights a never-ending battle for truth, or I'm sorry, for truth, justice, liberty, and equality as Superman. And so Kal-El is Superman of Earth 22, or I'm sorry, Earth 23. In his civilian identity, he is Calvin Ellis, President of the United States of America. And I actually have one of the comics with Calvin Ellis. It's pretty cool because Calvin Ellis was based off of President Barack Obama. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's,
so you see my point there. They have stories to tell. Don't just be like, okay, oh, well, let's just, you know, let's just turn Clark Kent and change them. No, you got a story right here, an interesting story. Yeah, it might not be as popular as the one from Clark Kent that we all know, but that's because Clark Kent's been years, man. It's been years and decades. You cannot, if y'all expecting and have the same success from one movie to another, I mean, no, that's not going to happen. But you got a great story, two great stories, yes. Not just one. So let's do that, okay? Let's not just, you know, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see just, okay, let's just going to retell the story of Clark Kent, but just with a black Superman. No. Warner Media, if you're listening to this, there's two guys right there. Get it together. As simple as that. And then get Henry Cavill another sequel. Please, for crying out loud. For crying out loud. Which, do you want to start talking about the Superman's or rankings?
Yeah, go ahead. Jump in. I was going to say that's a perfect segue because you're hot right now. Yeah, so go ahead, man.
Get it to
you. Yeah, let me hear, because I know that you own it. And I agree with you. Everything you're saying, like, we don't need another version of Clark Kent. Okay? But... and I think this is what, not just you and I, you know, we do the social media chat room stuff, you know, yeah. We like our comics and, you know, we chat about it with other people. And what we're seeing is, it at least appears that the sentiment from the fans. And again, I wonder if the people, the powers that be at, like, you know, up there at Marvel and the people over at DC and Warner Brothers or whatever, like, are y'all so tone deaf that y'all don't actually listen to what the people are telling you? This is what we want. And they're telling you, like, look, we like Henry Cavill. We want to see more of him. We don't need you to get rid of him. And you don't have to replace him to put another one on the screen. Because, like you said, there are some great stories out here with some wonderful characters that DC has already created. Use one of them. I would be really hyped to see either one of, you know, Val Saad's story, because, you know, and I was reading through there's some good little tidbits in there. It looks like, you know, Kal-El is almost in the reverse where Val Zod, you know, General Zod, well, now, you know, he's the good dude. Kal-El's the one who goes off the rails and he's got to check him. That would be a great story. Calvin Ellis, you know, he was one of the original heroes of Earth, inspired a whole pantheon of heroes to come from behind him. Then he took public office and his alter ego became Calvin Ellis, President of the United States. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can work with there. He doesn't have to be Clark Kent. And he doesn't have to be married to Lois Lane.
There you go. I mean, that's as simple as that. And this movie can take place in another universe. It could take place in the same universe as Robert Pattinson's Batman,
Go ahead. And before we do that, go ahead and jump in on Patterson's. I know you got a feel on that and a take on that. And we are talking about the future of the DCU. Before we hit the Superman, go ahead, because you know how I feel about old Patterson. But I'm going to let you, because you got me to soften my stance.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Here's the thing. Well, Brother Red does not like Patterson. He explained his reasons. He doesn't think he has the physique. He doesn't have the body. And I agree in a way, because when we see him as Bruce Wayne, he doesn't look like a Bruce Wayne. He looks just like a guy with a suit on. Like you look at Ben Affleck, he looks like a Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, Ben is wearing a suit. The suit's not wearing him.
Yeah, correct. There you go. Perfect analogy. Now, the Batman suit does look, I think he looks good in the Batman suit, but I mean, anyone can look good on the suit. I could put on the suit, you know, I could just put on those fake muscles and there you go. You got a short version of Batman, but you know. Basically, yeah. So here's the thing. I'll be watching the movie. I just got to, Robert Pattinson's got to prove, because you're not convincing people. A lot of people.
You're not convincing me.
You're not. Yeah, correct.
So far.
Now, rumor has it that they already there's there's a whole League of Justice League in that movie as well, because there's been behind the scene pictures of people with Superman suits and Wonder Woman suits. And also, there's rumor that Joker already exists there. And I think I read an article there that supposedly the Joker movie, the one with Joaquin Phoenix, is connected to this one. Now, I don't know. I think that's kind of a reach, you know. But we will have to see. I mean, the age difference is too much.
Yeah, that. And it seems like Joaquin Phoenix. And shame on me. Man, I got a lot of stuff. I haven't got to get up. I got to get up on that Joker.
Yeah.
You know, but I haven't seen it. But it seems like. Like you said, the era and the time that it takes place, it wouldn't.
No, I would have to. Yeah.
Now I got a question: could Pattinson possibly be the grown-up version of Bruce Wayne that we've seen in Gotham on the TV show? Because that was a hell of a TV show.
Now that would work.
Could he be a grown-up version of that Bruce Wayne? And I'll tell you what, that Bruce Wayne and that kid. Gotham, of all the shows on TV. That's part of the Arrowverse and whatever Disney's putting out. I'm tell you right now, ain't none of y'all messing with Gotham. That was the best show. And they wrapped it just right. Like they had a set time. It wasn't this open-ended thing where they're like, oh, we're just gonna do this until people start watching. They're like, no, we got a story.
And we're
gonna finish it.
Yeah,
and Gotham was dope. If y'all haven't seen Gotham, go check out Gotham. That was a great TV show.
So I haven't seen the show, but I'll definitely watch it. But
that's Batman. Like, sell me on why I should like Pattinson. Because I'm sorry, I'm not buying it, man.
Well, I mean, I can't make you watch the movie. They're gonna have to release another trailer, and then maybe start showing some action, and you know, because there's three villains supposedly there. The Riddler's one of them confirmed, which he looks different, which I do like because they give him a darker tone. They didn't give him the little green outfit like Jim Carrey did. And the Penguin's confirmed as well. The third one, like I said, the rumor has it the Joker might be the third one because
Two-Face maybe?
No, the Joker. I don't know what Two-Face. The Joker supposedly because if you notice when Pattinson beats up one of the guys in the streets and he says, "I'm vengeance." Those guys are wearing white makeup with like a clown, so they're saying that maybe the Joker already exists there. So they're like,
did anybody laugh?
Nah, they didn't laugh. Well, not Catwoman will be there. I don't know. She's technically a villain of Batman. I don't know if they're gonna count. She's the third villain.
Love interest of Batman.
Maybe who knows? But like I said, I can't really convince you until I see another trailer because, like I said, I'm not really convinced myself either. I did like the suit. But we're just gonna have to wait and see. Actually, I got a thing to convince you. Supposedly, Tom Welling, he wants to be in that movie as Superman. Would that convince you?
That would convince me because Tom, that's my dude. And you know what? That's a great point or a great place to end it. Yeah. So let's take a break. Everybody go grab your popcorn, get some refreshment, go to the restroom. Son L, Brother Red, we'll be back for our final segment. And we're going to talk about our favorite Superman on the big screen of all time. This is your man, Brother Red, Son L. This is No Vultures. This is Brother Red. We're back with Son L. You're listening to No Vultures, and we're going to be capping off episode number 9. And we're going to finish up by giving our list of our top 5 Superman of all time cats who have played the role. And so I'm going to go ahead and start it off because I know Son L, this is your dude. And I love Superman too. He's my favorite DC character, but he's not my favorite character in comics of all time. I know this is your guy. Yeah. So I'm gonna get my list real quick. And I'm gonna start from 5 moving up. Yeah. Number 5, I got Tyler Hoechlin. He's currently in the new Superman and Lois. You know what? I was down on him, as you know, with the Crisis on Infinite Earths through the Arrowverse and whenever he made guest appearances on Supergirl, I'm like, yeah, this dude is like, he's a little sawed off, softy. Like, there's nothing about him is giving me that Superman vibe. And I tell you what, I've seen what, the first four episodes, I believe. I didn't get the fifth one. I got to get through the first four, and I'm digging him. Like, he's a breath of fresh air, man. It's like, he's not negative. He's not snarky. He's not just basically. He's not an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, he's Superman. He's like, and I think for me, I like to see him. I like how Hockland tackles the challenge of fatherhood. We've never seen Superman be a father. So, and I think that he's doing a good job of that. Like, he really is, you know, showing the emotions and what a dad would go through worrying about his boys. And then also trying to be a good husband. And so those are things that, you know, we maybe hadn't seen other actors asked to do. We're seeing it from him, and man, hats off to him. He's number five, but he's shooting up quick. Number four for me, I don't think he can go no higher or lower until he does something else. That's your boy. I know you love him. You grew up with him.
My boy.
Tom Welling, big man, love you, but I need to see more of you in the suit. I know you never wanted to put on a suit, dog. Put on a suit. We want to see you in a suit. Okay. Number three, and I had Henry Cavill. I was going to put him at five because, I tell you, Hockland is really winning me over. It really is not so much the dislike of Cavill as much as it is he does a great job as Superman, like you mentioned, but it's the Kal-El, or not the Kal-El, but the Clark Kent. And maybe it's just the way that he's written in the movies, but he just seems so detached from humanity, even though that's the thing that, another thing that makes Superman so lovable and everyone love him is because of the humanity. And because, you know, that part. So that was, you know, that's my take on him. So, you know, he's standing at number three. Honestly, though, nobody looks better in the suit. No. Cavill, and he got the little escrow, just like Christopher Reeve. Yeah.
He was built for that.
Yeah, he was built for it. Yeah. Number two, surprise. I like Brandon Roth, which might be the one that maybe gets the most heat from out of all these guys. Man, I like Brandon Roth. Again, breath of fresh air. He's not an asshole. He's what Superman's supposed to be.
Nice,
yeah, he's a nice guy. He's earnest. And I can't speak on the guy personally because I don't know him personally. I can only say, you know, how he portrays himself. And the characters that he plays in other characters. And just like Ray Palmer, like, dude, you just want to give him a big bro hug. Is a good dude.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, if you got one prerequisite to be Clark Kent and Superman, you should be a good dude, like genuinely a good dude, because if you're playing the big blue Boy Scout, it's going to show through. If you don't have no goodness in you, the screen's going to catch it because this is Superman, right? Okay, now number one, hey, for all the Mandela Effect people, I'm old school. It's Christopher Reeves. Not Christopher Reeve. It's Christopher Reeves. All right? It's the OG. All right? I ain't got to tell nothing else to y'all. It's Christopher Reeves, buddy. It's the cat that I seen fly around the earth and turn they backwards. That's my dog. So that's who I grew up on. He's always going to be Superman. That's my OG. So Christopher Reeves, that's my list. Go ahead and jump in.
All right. Well, Nate, hey, your list sounds very good. Mine is going to be only the top four because I've only seen four Supermans. I've seen the Tom, not the Tom, the Christopher Reeve movies. I need to rewatch them again for me to judge them again. I've never seen the Dean Cain show either as Superman. So I can't really give him, I'm not going to put him in this list either. So I'm not saying that he's bad or he's garbage. No, I'm not saying that. But here's my list, my top four. I'm going to go number four, Tyler Hoechlin. You're right. He hasn't been given much. He's only had only one season right now so far. I can't judge him based on one season.
Right.
I need to see more.
I can tell you this. I've not seen the Dean Cain.
Yeah.
I like Tyler more than Dean Cain. Go ahead.
I grew up and I've seen the Dean Cain.
Yeah.
I like Tyler.
Maybe if I watch this show, maybe he'll be in my top five. He might. We'll just see. But Tyler Hoechlin, like I said, at first he looked weak. They just basically wrote him to put Supergirl up top, which is dumb, but whatever. It is what it is. For another subject for another time.
Don't be sexist. Don't go there. Don't get ladies, we love all y'all ladies. Y'all powerful women. We love you.
We do. But it's just like, you can't do that to Superman. I'm sorry. But Tyler Hoechlin on his show, he's done better. Like I say, he's a better Clark Kent than Henry Cavill. I'll give you that. I don't think he's a better Superman because he's short. I mean,
nobody feels it out like. Yeah, Cavill is that dude with the suit.
Tyler Hoechlin does not look
good. Black suit, he look cool. I gotta give his props.
He
had it going on.
So Tyler Hoechlin's number four. He can go up. We'll just have to see what happens. Number three in my list is Brandon Routh. I actually met him personally. He's a very nice guy. I even showed you his autograph one time. He's a nice guy, and he's a nice guy. He's like the kind of friend you want to have because he's a nice guy. He's just literally nice. But here's the thing, though. His Superman is very nice, too.
Right.
He doesn't look like the kind of Superman that, okay, when he needs – I can't see him get mad. I can't see him. I can't. If you watch Doomsday Clock, when Superman looks like he's going to charge at Dr. Manhattan, I can't see Brandon Ross doing that. He looks too nice.
The comic book, right?
Yeah, the comic book. Doomsday Clock, like, he's charging at Dr. Manhattan. It looks like he's charging at him. You read the comic book, then you can see what I'm talking about. I can't see Brandon Ross doing that. I just can't. Right. But he's still a good Superman. He did good Superman in the Superman Returns movie, and he did a good job as Kingdom Come Superman. Right. I'll give him that.
Yes.
Number two on my list, my man Tom Welling. I grew up watching this as a kid. This show, even though he never wore the suit, he's still a great Clark Kent. He's like I said, he's got the body. He's everything. He's a big guy. I mean, if you saw Crisis of Infinite Earths, he appeared in that show.
He was bigger than Brandon Routh.
Tyler Hoechlin looked like a little puny guy compared to him.
You had all three of them at the same time, and that's a big dude.
Yeah. So, but the only reason I don't have him number two is because we've never seen him with a suit. Like I said, rumor has it he wants to appear in Batman, Robert Pattinson's Batman. I'm sorry. So if he appears and he does something as Superman, maybe he might just take my number one spot. Like I said, because I grew up watching him, so I grew up as Clark Kent. I'm sorry, as a boy, to eventually becoming the Man of Steel. That show, and you said Gotham's your favorite superhero show ever.
Gotham's Gotham's a heck of a show, straight up.
Well, for me, it's Smallville. Yeah. I think Smallville opened the door for all these shows. If you notice, Smallville is the only show that has 10 seasons. All these other Arrowverse shows are getting canceled because they don't even know what they're doing.
Writing, I have it. I'll be honest with you. Flash, I try to follow it. They don't do nothing for me. And I'm not knocking the actors that, because I don't want the people like, there's some new actors on it. No, it's the writing. They're at the end. Arrow got to be pretty weak.
Yeah, that one got.
Stargirl, I really couldn't.
I haven't seen it. I gotta watch that.
The first episode kind of got me a little bit. I need to give it more time. Yeah. Give it an honest shot. Batwoman, I tried. Hot garbage. that none of it. No.
I haven't seen that one either.
No, just. And that's one thing with DC, y'all try to do too much, bad stuff. Okay, like, look, Barbara Gordon, the daughter of Jim Gordon, is Batgirl. All this other mess that y'all trying to do and these agendas that y'all trying to put out and all that, man, nobody want to hear that or see that, including the people that you're trying to cater to. All right? So, stop. I hate to say it like that, nobody, because obviously there are people that want to see it, but...
Stop.
Yeah, because it's you're just not doing it right. So go back to the drawing board, try something else. I would say shelf Batwoman altogether. You got Batgirl, like I said, Barbara Gordon. You already screwed everything up with the new 52 and ruined the great Killing Joke story, which is one of the greatest Batman stories ever, when you retconned everything and said now Barbara Gordon can walk. When we know what happened in the Killing Joke, she's Oracle. Now, if you want to do something else to where, you figure out a way to maybe, have her train another Batgirl, young lady, something like that, and then she becomes Batwoman and takes the helm, cool. But, just the way that y'all are trying to infuse stuff and just throw people in there and then retcon their histories, and it's like, man, I'm an old head reader. you can't fool me.
Yeah, you don't
want to be around. Yeah, like, nah, man. Like, you know, you're not fooling me. Like, that don't, it don't work for me. It might work for somebody that ain't never picked up a book. And there's a lot of people like me. We've been reading for years. When you do this type of stuff, it's like, eh, whatever.
Get it together.
Yeah, get it together. So,
get it together.
Yeah, so that's my rant on it. But go ahead and continue.
Yeah.
Number one.
And number one, and my number one, obviously, Henry Cavill. I mean, I think he can do better as Clark Kent. I think he did better in Justice League. I think he showed a little more emotion, especially as after he got killed and revived. He did better. Still not quite there yet. If they ever release a Man of Steel movie, I feel he might get it just right. And it's, like I said, not really his fault. It's the way they write him. So just to be clear, I'm never bashing the actors. The only way I'll bash an actor is if they don't look like the
resemblance at all, right?
Yeah, it's like you said, Robert Pattinson. He doesn't look like Batman. That's on him. That's not the way they wrote him. It's the way he is. But anyways, I'm sorry. Let me go back to Henry Cavill. He's my number one. If there's ever a Doomsday Clock movie adaptation, it's gotta be with him. It's gotta be with him as Superman. I don't want to see Tyler Hoechlin. I'm sorry, you just don't look like that guy. Brandon Routh the same. You just don't look like the guy. Tom, you could look, but you just have to put on the suit, the damn suit. Put on the damn suit. So yeah, WarnerMedia, write him a check with more than 6 zeros for crying out loud,
man.
And he'll do it. Okay, because he's not like an A-lister either. It's not like he's got options. So if you just write him a good check, he'll put the suit on.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm sorry. It would have to be Tom. It would have to be Henry. And I would prefer Henry, but obviously, you know, it would have to be him. So Henry is my man. And like I said, Tyler Hoechlin is rising. Tom Willen, if he puts on the suit one day, and he might just take the number one spot too. But we'll just have to see. Now we'll just have to see what happens. But those are my top four because, like I said, I haven't seen all of them. Henry Cavill, Tom Willen, Brandon Routh, Tyler Hoechlin. Turn it back to Brother Rhett.
All right, and for me, just my quick review. Number one, I got OG Christopher Reeves. Number two, Brandon Routh. Surprise, hey, I like him. I like good dudes. I'm sorry, I'm not big into corny stuff all the time, but I know he's ultra corny. He is, but damn it, it's Superman, and it's just what it is, you know. Henry Cavill, nobody looks better in a suit than Henry.
Okay.
I give him that. Like he and the Superman count, like the fighting and all that. Yeah, like he really.
He does it.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, like he. I will give him this. He does it better than even Christopher Reeve. Like he really looks like I will jack you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me.
Yeah. And then number four, Tom. I love me some Tom Welling. Tom, put on a damn suit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, look, you signed on to be Clark Kent. We get it to Smallville and all that's your baby. But look, dude, you have to know people want to see you. Eventually, all we got to do is see you crack it open just a little bit of that S the last episode. We want the suit, dog. You know, because people like you. You know, in fact, you have a big fan base. So give us what we want. And then number five, I had Tyler, rising star, Dean Cain. Sorry, bro.